The call comes in at 7:30 a.m., first stop, no cooling for a family with a newborn. You pull into the driveway with a full tank, a clean windshield, and a bin map in your head. No guesswork. The ladder is strapped. The parts you rely on sit in the same row every single time. You shut the engine off, pop the side door, and your hand lands on fuses, then caps, then a new contactor. Labels face out. Counts match the sheet from last night. The disconnect looks tired, so you set a spare within reach. A gust pushes dust across the pad. You have drop cloths and a small tarp, so the living room stays clean. You move with quiet speed because preparation gives speed. Power off, verify zero, swap the failed part, document the readings, and roll out before 9. One trip. Happy customer. Day saved. Chapter 1. The Ready Truck. Hook, one line. A ready truck turns problems into one-trip wins. Scope. This chapter builds a daily pre-trip checklist and a bin map for an HVAC service truck that runs residential and light commercial calls within normal business hours and emergency windows. No diagnostics in depth here. No refrigerant recovery, evacuation, or airflow testing here. Those live in later chapters. Safety. Wear gloves and eye protection during loading and unloading. Use a back belt or lift with legs for heavy items. Chock a wheel during ladder access. Secure every ladder with two straps. Keep a fire extinguisher near the side door. Store gas cylinders upright with caps on and straps tight. Follow local code and permitting for transport of compressed gas and fuel. Do not drive while items shift. Stop and resecure if movement starts. Document any damage before leaving the yard. Tools and materials, truck organization kit. Label printer or permanent marker, pre-printed bin labels, clear bins with lids in three sizes, dividers, foam blocks for knock protection, two ratchet straps per ladder, cargo bar, magnetic parts trays, bolt-on hooks, spill kit with absorbent pads, zip bags for small hardware, count sheets on a clipboard, wipe-down rags, small broom and pan, headlamp with spare batteries, photo checklist on card stock, laminated bin map posted on the side door. Consumables and smalls for this chapter's build. Assorted wire nuts in color groups, spade and ring terminals in common sizes, 5-amp and 3-amp blade fuses, 60 and 75 microfarad run caps, 5 microfarad fan caps, contactors common coil voltages, thermostat wire 2-conductor and 5-conductor in short rolls, jumpers, zip ties short and long, electrical tape, foil tape for ducts, mastic in small tubs with lids, screws number 8 and number 10 in 1-inch and 1-in-1. Half-inch, anchors for light-duty, PVC 3/4-inch fittings and unions for drains, vinyl tube 1/4-inch and 3/8-inch, tablets for condensate pans, pan switches in a few common models. Warranty parts ride in a separate tote with a bold label. Setup, park on level ground. Open every door. Pull out bins and lay them in order on a tarp next to the truck. Read yesterday's count sheet. Mark lines for any item below par. Check the ladder straps for fray. Shake the fire extinguisher and read the gauge. Test the headlamp. Confirm the spill kit sits near the rear door. Wipe surfaces so labels adhere. Review the bin map. The map shows rows, columns, and quantities. Post the map, at eye level, on the inside of the side door. That is your shared language with any helper. Steps. Step 1. Build your bin map and label every position. Divide the cargo space into zones. Zone A for power and control. Zone B for airflow and drains. Zone C for gas heat items. Zone D for ductless adapters. Put the heaviest bins low and near the axle line. Place daily grab items at waist height near the side door. Print or write labels with item name, size, and par level. Example line reads, run cap 75 microfarad par 4. Face labels out. Stick a small copy of the bin map on your clipboard. Step 2. Set par levels by failure frequency, not by hope. Use call history from the last season. If you ran 20 no-cool calls with 10 cap swaps, stock more caps. If flame sensors solved 6 no-heat calls, keep 2 universal sensors and 1 abrasive pad. Avoid a mountain of rare parts. Keep one of each rare item and log usage. Push rare parts to the shop shelf, not the truck. Review pars monthly. Raise or lower by 1 based on real usage. Par math is simple. If you used 4 last month, set par at 5. If you burn through pins and screws in a week, add 1 more box. Step 3. Separate warranty stock from customer billable stock. Warranty totes get a bright tag. record serials and proof of purchase on a sheet inside the tote. Place the tote in a protected zone low and toward the front. Do not mix these items with daily grab bins. During a job, keep the tote closed. Open only when a warranty part is required. This reduces mix-ups and protects margin. Step 4. Balance weight and lock it down. Heavy items go low and centered. Place the nitrogen bottle upright on the curb side with a strap and a base ring. Put the vacuum pump on the floor beside the bottle with foam blocks on two sides. Strap the ladder at two points. Use a cargo bar behind the heaviest row of bins. Pull each bin after strapping to feel movement. No movement means safe travel. A quiet cargo area means less fatigue on the road. Step 5. Build a clean entry kit for customer care. Drop cloths, shoe covers, small tarp, microfiber rags, a compact broom, and a small tote for trash ride together near the side door. Put a card with your cleanup steps on top. The card reads, shoe covers on, drop cloth down, sweep debris, wipe return grill, remove trash. Keep this kit bright and obvious. Use it on every call. Clean exit builds trust and lowers complaints. Step 6. Create a daily restock routine and schedule. End every day with a 5-minute count. Open each bin. Call out the label and the number in the bin. Fill to par. If shop stock runs low, write a purchase line on the restock sheet. Take a photo of the sheet. Place the sheet on the dash for morning pickup. Do not roll out in the morning without a restock check. Protect the habit with a timer on your phone at 5:30 p.m. The routine is short and painless when you keep bins in order. Step 7. Set a seasonal swap system. Build two small totes per season. One tote holds cooling season add-ons. One tote holds heating season add-ons. Cooling tote includes tablet packs for pans, extra caps in common sizes, contactors, a small coil clean sleeve, and vinyl tube. Heating tote includes spare igniters, flame sensors, pressure switch tubing, rollout and limit switches in common ranges, and thread sealant rated for gas. Store both totes in the shop. Swap them into the truck at the season change. Put a calendar reminder 1 week before the season turns. If a heat wave or cold snap arrives early, swap early. Step 8. Post your photo checklist and practice a 2-minute drill. The checklist shows 6 photos you take before you leave the shop. Fuel gauge. Fire extinguisher gauge. Ladder straps attached. Bin map visible. Warranty tote closed with tag facing out. Count sheet on the clipboard. Run the drill 3 mornings in a row. Time it. Strive for 2 minutes or less. Habit beats memory when calls stack up. Verify. Walk around the truck. Open and close every door. Hit the brakes while parked and listen for sliding parts. None should slide. Drive a short loop. Take a right turn, a left turn, and a stop on a quiet street. Listen for thumps and rattles. If you hear movement, pull over and add padding or another strap. Back at the shop, grab the count sheet and point to 3 high-usage items. Caps, contactors, and wire nuts. Open those bins and confirm par. Read the levels aloud. Example, caps, 4 of 75 microfarad. Contactors, 2 of 2-pole 30-amp wire nuts, full cups. Sign and date the sheet. Common fails and fixes. Unlabeled bins lead to hunting on the job. Fix with a 10-minute label session before the first call. Write clear names and par levels. Replace smudged labels the same day. Weight high and wide causes sway. Fix by moving heavy items low and centered. Add a cargo bar. Test drive again. Warranty parts mixed with billable stock drains profit. Fix by color tagging the tote and moving it away from daily bins. Log serials inside the tote. Dirty cargo floors ruin labels. Fix with a quick sweep and wipe before any labeling session. Adhesive sticks on clean surfaces. No restock routine turns into morning chaos. Fix with a recurring 5-minute end-of-day audit. Use a phone reminder and the photo checklist. Document for inspectors, warranty, and quality. Photo the bin map once a month with dates visible. Photo the fire extinguisher gauge with the needle position readable. Photo ladder straps locked at 2 points. Photo the nitrogen bottle upright with a strap and cap on. Keep a photo of the warranty tote with the tag visible. Keep restock sheets for 90 days. Attach photos to your job management system or store by month in a folder. Inspectors and auditors look for safe transport of cylinders, secure ladders, and clean work practices. Warranty reviewers look for proof of purchase, serial numbers, and dates. Recap, 3 bullets. Bin map, clear labels, and PAR levels turn a pile of parts into a system. Daily 5-minute restock protects first call completion. Weight low and centered, ladders strapped twice, and cylinders upright keep you safe and legal. Chapter 2, Power and Control Saves. Hook, one line, restore safe power and clean control in one visit. Scope. This applies to residential and light commercial split systems and gas furnaces when the fault is in power supply or the control circuit. You focus on disconnects, contactors, capacitors, low voltage wiring, and thermostat calls. You do not handle refrigerant work, airflow tuning, or condensate repairs here. Those live in other chapters. Safety. Wear cut-resistant gloves and eye protection. Lock out and tag out at the breaker and the service disconnect. Set the meter to volts AC and prove zero before contact. Discharge capacitors with a resistor tool. Keep hands clear of fans and belts. Watch for hot compressor shells and sharp cabinet edges. Work dry on solid footing. Follow local code for panel access and disconnect replacement. Tools and materials. Digital multimeter that reads volts AC to 600, volts DC, capacitance to 200 microfarad, and continuity with tone. Non-contact voltage tester. Insulated screwdriver set. Fuses 5 amp and 3 amp blade. 2-pole 30 amp contactor with 24 volt coil. Run capacitors. 40 microfarad at 440 volts and 75 microfarad at 440 volts. Fan capacitor 5 microfarad at 440 volts. Hard start kit 2-wire size to common tonnage when the manufacturer allows. Wire nuts in orange, yellow, and red. Spade terminals 1/4 inch and 3/16. Thermostat wire 18-gauge 2-conductor and 5-conductor short rolls. Pre-made jumpers with insulated clips. Outdoor non-fused 60-amp service disconnect. Label tags. Headlamp. Setup. Park safe and announce you will cut power. At the panel, test your meter on a known live circuit. Then test the suspected circuit. Then test a known live again. Now you trust the meter. At the unit, open the disconnect and verify zero. Apply your lock and tag. Take a quick photo of the lockout. Open the control compartment and inspect for soot, bugs, water, or loose splices. Lay out parts on a magnetic tray. Steps. Step 1. Prove source power. With the disconnect in, read line to line at the condenser lugs. Target is about 240 volts, AC plus or minus 10%. Repeat, plus or minus 10%. If you read less than 215, note brownout risk and stop any repeated starts. Pull the disconnect. Inspect the pullout for burn marks and weak jaws. Replace a brittle or heat-damaged unit with a new 60-amp non-fused outdoor disconnect if code allows. Step 2. Protect the low voltage side. Check the 3-amp blade fuse on the air handler board. If it is blown, do not shotgun parts. Remove thermostat R and C from the board. Meter the transformer secondary. You should read about 24 volts AC. Repeat, about 24 volts AC. If the transformer is good, the short is downstream. Use a jumper with an inline 3-amp fuse to bring circuits back one at a time. Find the pinch, the shorted coil, or the cut cable before you replace the fuse. Step 3. Test the contactor. Restore power with a call for cool. Read coil voltage at the contactor. You should see about 24 volts AC. If the coil has voltage and the plunger is pitted or sticks, replace the contactor with a 2-pole 30-amp model. If there is no coil voltage, trace through the high-pressure switch, low-pressure switch if present, and any time delay relay. Jump a safety only for a moment to test. Never leave a safety jumped. Step 4. Verify and replace run capacitors. Power off. Verify zero. Discharge the cap with a resistor tool. Label and remove wires. Set the meter to capacitance. Compare the reading to the label. Acceptable is plus or minus 6%. Repeat, plus or minus 6%. Replace a 40 microfarad that reads 35 with a 40 microfarad at 440 volts. Replace a 5 microfarad fan cap that reads 3 with a 5 microfarad at 440 volts. Mount upright with the strap tight and leads routed clean. Step 5. Address hard starts only with matching symptoms. If the compressor hums and trips on overload with correct line voltage and a good run cap, install a 2-wire hard start kit allowed by the manufacturer. Record locked rotor amps before and after. If start amps stay high, stop and plan deeper testing. Do not mask a failing compressor with parts. Step 6. Repair control wiring. Inspect thermostat cable at the condensing unit and along the line set. Look for weed trimmer cuts and sunbrittle jackets. Replace damaged sections with 18-gauge 2-conductor or 5-conductor. Use weather-rated splices with heat shrink. At the board and stat, label R, Y, C, W, and G. Use a clean jumper to command cool at the board. If the system runs on a jumper but not on the thermostat, replace or reprogram the thermostat. Step 7. Replace a failed service disconnect when needed. Kill the breaker. Verify zero at the line lugs. Pull the old box. Mount the new box plumb and tight. Cut back to bright copper. Torque lugs to the label value. Say it out loud. Example, 35 inch-pounds. Repeat, 35 inch-pounds. Reinstall the rain hood and label the box with date and initials. Step 8. Dress conductors and close clean. Separate low voltage from high voltage with tie wraps. Add an anti-short bushing where liquid tight enters the cabinet. Replace missing strain reliefs. Install any missing panel screw. Wipe fingerprints. A tidy panel prevents future shorts and speeds the next call. Verify. Under load at the condenser, read line to line again. You should see about 230 to 240 volts AC. Record it. Read voltage drop across the contactor. It should be near zero. Read capacitor microfarads after 5 minutes of run. At the air handler, read 24 volts AC at R&C. With a call for cool, read 24 volts AC at Y&C. Take supply and return temperatures after 10 minutes. A normal delta is 15 to 20 degrees Fahrenheit. State the numbers to the customer. Common fails and fixes. Blowing a second low voltage fuse. Fix by isolating the outdoor unit and the thermostat cable with a fused jumper and adding circuits back one at a time until the short shows. Installing a capacitor with the wrong voltage rating. Fix by stocking 440 volt parts as your default. They ride spikes better than 370. Skipping lug torque. Fix by carrying a torque driver and reading the label. Speak the torque value as you tighten. This protects you and the equipment. Document. Photo the locked out disconnect before work. Photo the blown fuse with the rating visible. Photo meter screens for line voltage, coil voltage, and capacitor microfarads. Photo the new contactor label showing coil voltage and amp rating. Log the torque value for disconnect lugs. Note thermostat conductor colors and any heat shrink splices. Store all photos with date and time in the job file. Recap 3 bullets. Verify zero, then measure before you move a wire. Replace parts only after numbers point the way. Repeat critical readings out loud. Dress wires, torque lugs, and label everything you touch for the next tech and the inspector. Chapter 3, tight, dry, and deep vacuum. Hook, one line. Seal it clean, pull it deep, prove it dry. Scope. You fix small copper leaks, replace short runs, and return sealed systems to service on residential and light commercial split equipment. You handle nitrogen pressure tests, brazed joints, and evacuation to a deep vacuum. You do not diagnose airflow or electrical faults here. You do not charge refrigerant here. Charging and performance checks live in a later chapter. Safety. Wear gloves, sleeves, and eye protection. Keep a charged fire extinguisher within reach. Ventilate the space. Lock out and tag out the breaker. Verify zero at the disconnect before you touch the unit. Recover any remaining refrigerant with certified equipment and follow environmental rules. Treat all tubing, valves, and compressor shells as hot after brazing. Use heat protection on valves and painted panels. Never pressurize with oxygen. Nitrogen only. Tools and materials, nitrogen cylinder with dual stage regulator. Flow meter or a repeatable low flow setting on the regulator. Core removal tools for quarter-inch service ports. Spare Schrader cores. Vacuum-rated hoses in 3/8 inch or larger. Micron gauge with a clean sensor. Vacuum pump with fresh oil, spare oil bottle, and isolation valve. Silver phosphorus brazing rod for copper to copper. High silver rod with flux for copper to brass or copper to steel. Tubing cutter, deburring tool, and wire brush. Heat-blocking putty or a wet rag. Access tees and plugs. Thread sealant rated for refrigeration threads. Recovery machine, recovery cylinder, and a scale. Spray soap solution. Temperature probes. Setup, park level and set a drop cloth. Announce you will cut power and recover refrigerant. Prove your meter on a known live circuit. then prove zero on the unit. Set your recovery machine, cylinder, and scale. Weigh the cylinder before and after. Cap and label the cylinder when finished. Change the vacuum pump oil now. Fresh oil at the start pulls deeper faster. Mount the micron gauge at the unit on a port that will stay connected during the test. Put core tools on both service ports and plan to pull the cores. Lay out rods, flux, and protection within easy reach. Steps. Step 1. Prepare the tubing. Mark the cut on bright copper, then cut square. Deburr inside and outside. Brush to bright metal. Dry fit each joint. Mark insertion depth with a fine line. Your marks show full seating during brazing. A clean, tight fit gives the joint its strength. The rod seals the gap. Keep joints dry. If oil is present, clean until a white rag stays clean. Step 2. Set the nitrogen for purge. Crack the regulator until you feel a whisper at the outlet. Aim for a slow and steady sweep of nitrogen through the open tubing while you braze. Too much flow lifts the flux and cools the joint. Too little allows oxidation. Keep the purge continuous from start to finish. Repeat. Continuous purge from start to finish. Step 3. Protect valves and paint. Wrap service valves with a wet rag or pack with heat putty. Shield painted panels. Keep the flame off the valve body. Heat the cup, not the rod. Move the torch in small circles to heat evenly. Step 4. Braze the joint. With nitrogen flowing, heat the cup until the metal just accepts the rod. Touch the rod opposite the flame. Let capillary action draw the filler. Do not flood the joint. Pull heat as soon as the gap fills. Wipe the joint with a wet rag to smooth the bead. Allow to cool naturally. Do not quench. Repeat for each joint. For copper to brass, use high silver rod with flux. Brush off flux residue after cooling. Step 5. Install access tees and seal threads. Use a small amount of thread sealant on male threads. Do not put sealant on flare faces. Thread by hand until snug. Tighten with a wrench to firm resistance. Do not over-tighten. Cap all unused ports. Step 6. Pressure test with nitrogen. Remove the purge line and connect your regulator to the service port through a core tool. Bring the system to a stable pressure that the equipment allows. A common target is 200 to 300 pounds per square inch. Repeat, 200 to 300 pounds per square inch. Never exceed the rating on the nameplate or the low side shell. Close the valves. Wait 10 minutes for temperature to settle. Spray every joint with soap. Bubbles mean a leak. Repair and retest. After a clean soap test, hold pressure for at least 30 minutes. Record start pressure, ambient temperature, and end pressure. A steady number with stable temperature is your pass. Step 7. Set up for deep vacuum. Vent the nitrogen to zero pressure. Remove Schrader cores with the core tools. Connect large vacuum-rated hoses directly to the core tools. Avoid tiny hoses. The big hose makes the big difference. Mount the micron gauge at the unit away from the pump. Isolate the gauge from the pump with a valve. Confirm fresh oil in the pump again. Repeat, fresh oil in the pump. Step 8. Pull down and prove dry. Start the pump. Watch the micron gauge drop through 5,000, then 2,000, then 1,000 microns. Target is 500 microns or less. Repeat, 500 microns or less. When you hit the target, close the isolation valves to hold the vacuum. Shut the pump. This is your decay test. Watch the rise for 15 minutes. A normal dry system rises slowly and settles under 1,000 microns. Repeat, under 1,000 microns after 15 minutes. If the pressure races upward, you have moisture, trap gas, or a leak. Vent with a sweep of dry nitrogen to zero pressure and pull down again. Two sweeps often clear light moisture. Verify, read and record the final vacuum target at or below 500 microns. Record the 15-minute decay endpoint under 1,000 microns. Reopen the valves and confirm the gauge returns to the target range with the pump on. Soap test again at any new joints that were adjusted. Touch each brazed joint with the back of your hand to confirm it has cooled. Check the service valve stems for smooth turning and correct caps with seals. Confirm all ports are capped. Confirm access tees are tight. Log the numbers in the job file. Common fails and fixes. Black scale inside the tubing after brazing. This is oxidation from no purge or a weak purge. Fix by always running a continuous low nitrogen flow during heating. Brush and flush if you must reopen the joint. slow evacuation that stalls above 1,500 microns. This points to small hoses, old pump oil, or cores still in place. Fix by using large vacuum hoses, pulling cores, and changing oil. Move the micron gauge to the unit, and not at the pump. Micron gauge falls fast, then rises fast. That pattern means a leak. Fix by pressurizing with nitrogen, using soap at every joint, and repairing before you pull again. Leaking flare. The seal is on the flare face. Do not use tape. Fix by remaking the flare with a clean tool and a small drop of refrigerant oil on the face. Torque to the manufacturer value. Speak the value as you tighten. Hot valve damage. The stem will not turn. You overheated it. Fix by replacing the valve and protecting with wet rags or putty next time. Keep the flame off the valve body. Document. Photo the nitrogen regulator showing the test pressure. Photo the soap test on each repaired joint. Photo the micron gauge at 500 microns or less with a time stamp. Photo the decay test ending under 1,000 microns with the pump off and valves closed. Photo the vacuum hose setup showing cores removed. Record recovery weight in and out. Record final notes on joints repaired, rods used, and any access tees added. Keep these with the invoice and warranty record. Recap, 3 bullets. Purge with nitrogen while you braze, then pressure test with nitrogen and soap every joint. Pull with large hoses and fresh oil. Target 500 microns. Repeat, 500 microns. Hold a 15-minute decay under 1,000 microns to prove it is dry and tight. Chapter 4, Air Moves and Water Flows. Hook, 1 line. Move air within spec and keep water in the pipe, not on the floor. Scope, you correct basic airflow and condensate problems on residential and light commercial split systems. You measure static pressure, seal obvious leaks, change filters, and clear and repair drains. You do not touch gas adjustments or refrigerant charging here. Ductless specifics live in the next chapter. Safety. Wear gloves, eye protection, and a dust mask when opening returns. Kill power at the disconnect and verify zero before you reach near a blower. Watch for sharp metal. Use stable footing in attics and crawl spaces. Treat wet floors as a slip hazard. Follow local code for drain terminations and traps. Bag any wet insulation and dispose per local rules. Tools and materials, digital manometer with 2 ports and silicone tubes. Static pressure tips with 1/8-inch probe. Pocket anemometer. 2 temperature probes. Foil tape and mastic. Assorted disposable filters in common sizes. For example, 16 by 25 by 1 and 20 by 20 by 1. Pan tablets. 3/4-inch PVC pipe, street elbows, tees, unions, and clean-out tees. PVC primer and cement. Clear vinyl tube in 1/4-inch and 3/8-inch. Condensate float switches, primary and auxiliary styles. Nylon brush set. Wet-dry vacuum with a small hose adapter. Spray bottle with mild cleaner. Setup, walk the air handler and the return. Note filter size and date. Photograph water stains, rust, or a wet secondary pan. Place drop cloths under the furnace or air handler if indoors. Remove the blower door. Inspect the coil face and the drain pan. Install static pressure test ports. 1 before the coil on the supply plenum. 1 after the filter on the return plenum. Drill small and clean. Cap ports when you finish. Steps. Step 1. Measure total external static pressure. Power the blower to the normal cooling speed. Insert tips with the flow arrow pointed into the airstream. Read return pressure as a negative. Read supply pressure as a positive. Add the 2 absolute values. Compare to the nameplate maximum. If no rating is shown, a common limit is 0.5 inches of water column. Repeat, 0.5 inches of water column. Record the number. Step 2. Fix the easy airflow winds. If the filter is wrong size, collapsed, or loaded, replace it with the correct size and MERV rating the equipment allows. If the return door leaks, add gasket or tape. Seal obvious duct gaps with mastic or foil tape. Do not use cloth duct tape. Recheck static. If it drops toward the target, you are moving the needle. Step 3. Check coil face temperature split to confirm direction. Place 1 probe in the return near the unit. Place the other in the supply plenum. After 10 minutes of run, a normal split is 15 to 20 degrees Fahrenheit in cooling. If you see a low split with high static, airflow is restricted. If you see a high split with low airflow noises, suspect a blocked coil. Plan a cleaning on another ticket if heavy. Note it for the customer. Step 4. Service the primary drain. Kill power. Remove the trap if present. Brush the trap and the first feet of pipe. Connect the wet-dry vacuum with vinyl tube to the outlet and pull a solid slug of water and debris. Flush with clean water until clear. Rebuild the trap with a clean-out tee if space allows. Prime the trap with water. Install a clean-out cap finger tight. A prime trap protects against air suck and odors. Step 5. Install or replace float switches. Place a primary pan switch at the drain outlet or a tee made for a switch. Place an auxiliary float switch in the secondary pan if one exists. Wire the switches in series with the thermostat Y-call. Label the panel with a note that a float switch will shut cooling off if water rises. This is a save that prevents ceiling damage. Step 6. Correct slope and support. For gravity drains, support the run so it falls steadily to the termination. A common target is at least 1/8 inch per foot. Repeat, at least 1/8 inch per foot. Add hangers so the pipe does not bow. Replace broken sections with new PVC. Cement with primer and glue per manufacturer instructions. Install a union near the unit for future service. Step 7. Clean the pan and add tablets. Wipe slime and rust from the primary pan. Rinse with a small amount of clean water. Place one pan tablet at the far end away from the drain outlet. Do not overload with chemicals. One tablet per instructions is enough. Tablets help slow growth between services. Step 8. Seal air leaks that drive condensate problems. Negative return leaks can pull attic air and load the coil with dust. Seal return seams with mastic. Positive supply leaks can blow cold air across the pan and stall draining. Tape small seams and mastic larger ones. Reinstall panels with all screws. Verify, restore power. Call for cool. Watch the primary drain for a steady trickle within a few minutes. Listen for gurgle. A prime trap should run quiet. Check the float switch by lifting it until the system shuts off, then lower it and confirm restart. Read total external static pressure again. Aim at or below the nameplate. If unknown, target near 0.5 inches of water column. Repeat, near 0.5 inches of water column. Take a fresh supply and return temperature reading after 10 minutes. Note the split. Walk ceilings below the air handler and look for drips. None should show. Common fails and fixes. Trap installed backward or too tall. Fix by rebuilding the trap in a P style with a clean out and a water seal shorter than the negative pressure can lift. Prime it with water. Drain terminates in a place that can block. Fix by moving the outlet to an allowed location with a visible discharge. Follow local code. Tablets thrown near the outlet and lodged. Fix by placing tablets at the far end of the pan and verifying flow after placement. Static pressure still high after a new filter. Fix by checking return sizing and blocked coil. Offer a return upgrade or coil cleaning on a scheduled visit. Document. Photo the static pressure readings on the meter screen with probes visible. Photo the filter label and size. Photo the rebuilt trap and the cleanout tee. Photo float switch placement and the panel note. Photo the drain outlet running to a code allowed location. Log numbers for total external static, supply and return temperatures, and float switch test pass. Attach all with date and time to the job file. Recap, 3 bullets. Measure, then fix. Static pressure guides your choices. Keep water moving with a clean, prime trap and a steady slope. Install float switches and seal leaks to prevent damage and callbacks. Chapter 5, Heat Safely, Burn Clean. Hook, one line, make heat, keep people safe, leave numbers that prove it. Scope, you service gas furnaces in homes and small shops. You replace common safety and ignition parts, set gas pressure, and verify draft and combustion. You do not convert fuel types. You do not change or enlarge combustion air openings. Follow the manufacturer and local code for all fire and vent work. Safety, wear gloves and eye protection. Carry a carbon monoxide alarm on your belt. Lock out and tag out electrical power. Close the gas cock and verify zero pressure before you open a pipe. Ventilate the space. Keep a fire extinguisher within reach. Treat metal edges and hot surfaces with care. If you smell gas, stop, ventilate, and leak test from the meter forward before you light anything. Tools and materials, manometer that reads inches of water column. Draft gauge or the manometer with a draft probe. combustion analyzer that reads oxygen and carbon monoxide and stack temperature, non-contact and contact thermometer, igniter's common flat style and common stick style, universal flame sensor, pressure switch tubing, barb tees, and short runs of hose, rollout switch and high limit switch in common ranges, gas-rated thread sealant, small wire brush and clean cloth, leak detector solution, multimeter, label tags and a marker. Setup, announce power and gas will be off. Kill the breaker and lock it. Close the gas cock and mark the handle direction. Verify 0 volts at the furnace. Verify no gas smell at the union. Lay a drop cloth. Open the burner compartment. Take a wide photo of the wiring and tubing. Vacuum loose dust. Place a magnetic tray for screws. Stage new parts on a clean rag. Steps. Step 1. Check combustion air and vent path. Confirm the room has the openings required by local code or the furnace is piped with dedicated intake and exhaust. Look for crushed flex or block screens. Clear leaves and lint. Shine a light up the draft hood or through the induced draft outlet. The vent must be open and continuous. If venting is unsafe, stop and write the correction needed. Step 2. Inspect and service the ignition train. Remove the flame sensor. Clean the rod with a clean cloth or a light pass of a brush until it is bright. Reinstall with clean firm wiring. Inspect the igniter. If it is cracked or white and flaking, replace it with the correct style and gasket. Do not touch a new igniter with bare fingers. Route leads away from the burner flame. Step 3. Verify pressure switch tubing and ports. Pull the tubing at the inducer and the switch. Clear water or debris. Replace brittle or soft hose. Use a barb tee and make a test port if none exists. With power on and a call for heat, confirm the inducer starts and the pressure switch closes. If it chatters, check for a blocked port or a weak inducer. Record the closing behavior. Step 4. Test limit and rollout safeties. With power off, confirm each switch has continuity at rest. Read nameplate trip values on the switch bodies. Replace a damaged or tripped rollout switch only after you find and correct the cause. Cracked heat exchanger, blocked exchanger, or flame rollout must be addressed before any relight. Document your findings with photos and notes. Step 5. Set manifold gas pressure. Connect the manometer to the outlet tap on the gas valve. Open the gas cock. Soap test the union and any joint you touched. With a call for heat, read manifold pressure after steady burn. Typical natural gas is 3.5 inches of water column. Repeat. 3.5 inches of water column. Typical propane is 10 to 11 inches of water column. Repeat, 10 to 11 inches of water column. Adjust only within the manufacturer range on the label. If pressure cannot hold, stop and check supply pressure and meter regulator. Step 6. Verify draft. Drill a small test port in the flue near the furnace if none exists. Insert the draft probe. After 1 minute of burn, read negative draft. Typical is 0.02 to 0.06 inches of water column on natural draft. Repeat, 0.02 to 0.06 inches of water column. Induced draft will read per model. If draft is weak or positive, shut down and clear the vent or correct combustion air. Step 7. Check combustion with the analyzer. Place the probe in the test port. Allow readings to stabilize. Record oxygen, carbon monoxide, and stack temperature. Ambient carbon monoxide near the furnace should read near zero. Indoors should be single digits. If carbon monoxide is elevated, shut down and investigate venting, gas pressure, primary air, and heat exchanger condition. Do not leave a furnace running with unsafe readings. Step 8. Final leak check and dress work. Brush thread sealant on any new male gas threads, assemble hand tight, then wrench to firm. Soap test every joint you touched. No bubbles. Repeat, no bubbles. Dress wires and tubing with clean routing. Replace all panel screws. Remove tools and rags. Restore power and set the thermostat to heat. Verify. With the system heating, record supply and return air temperature at the furnace after 10 minutes. Confirm blower speed is correct for heat. Record manifold pressure again. Read draft again. Record combustion numbers and ambient carbon monoxide at the appliance and in the occupied space. Cycle the furnace off and on to confirm smooth ignition and flame carryover. Give the customer the numbers and a plain explanation. Common fails and fixes. loose or dirty flame sensor causes short cycling. Fix by cleaning or replacing the sensor and confirming proper microamp signal with a meter lead in series if the board supports it. High carbon monoxide and the flue. Fix by confirming gas pressure, draft, and clean burners. If numbers stay high, shut down and recommend further inspection of the heat exchanger and vent. Weak draft on a cold start. Fix by checking vent height and cap, clearing nests, and confirming combustion air. Do not defeat safety switches to run a poorly drafting furnace. Document. Photo gas valve sticker that shows manufacturer pressure range. Photo manometer at the manifold with your final setting. Photo draft reading at the flue. Photo combustion analyzer screen with time and date. Photo any replaced igniter, flame sensor, or switches next to the new part. Log all numbers and the leak test pass in the job file. Note any corrections needed for combustion air or venting. Recap, 3 bullets. Set manifold pressure by the book and read it twice. Prove draft and combustion with instruments, not with guesswork. Leak test every joint you touch and document the numbers for the file. Chapter 6, Ductless First Trip Fix Kit. Hook, 1 line. Fix common ductless leaks and drains in tight spaces on the first visit. Scope, you service single and multi-zone ductless systems in homes and small offices. You remake flares, seal wall penetrations, correct condensate issues, and restore control wiring. You pull a compact deep vacuum after a small line repair. You do not open sealed compressors or charge refrigerant in this chapter. Large recovery or factory warranty teardown belongs to a separate visit. Safety. Wear gloves and eye protection. Kill power at the outdoor unit disconnect and the indoor head if it has a local switch. Lockout and tagout. Verify 0 volts with a meter at S1 and S2 before you touch conductors. Treat sharp fins and sheet metal as cut hazards. Work off a stable platform. Keep a fire extinguisher nearby if you must braze outdoors on a stub. Ventilate when using cleaners. Follow local code for condensate pump wiring and drain terminations. Tools and materials. Compact vacuum pump with fresh oil. Micron gauge. Core tools and vacuum hoses sized large. Metric flare block with clutch. Flaring gauge for 1/4 and 3/8 lines. Torque wrench for flare nuts with adapters to 17mm and 22mm. New flare nuts for 1/4 and 3/8 copper. Small bottle of refrigeration oil for flare faces. Tube cutter and deburr tool. Fin brush. Coil cleaning sleeves for wall heads. Plastic sheeting and a drain bag or pan. Communication cable 4-conductor rated for outdoor use. Wire ferrules and a crimper. Condensate mini pump service kit with check valve. Clear vinyl tube 3/8 inch. Wall sleeve kit and putty. Line set cover screws. Soap solution. Label tags. Headlamp. Small mirror on a stick. Setup. Walk the system. Photo the outdoor nameplate and indoor model tag. Open the line set cover at the wall. Open the front of the indoor head. Place the cleaning sleeve under the head with a pan or bag to catch rinse water. Pull the disconnect outside and prove 0 at the terminals. Place drop cloths along the work path. Stage flare tools, new nuts, torque wrench, and vacuum gear within reach at the wall penetration. Steps. Step 1. Check and label communication and power. Remove the indoor head cover. Read the terminal block markings. Most blocks read S1, S2, and S3 with ground and power as labeled. Do not assume colors. Read the numbers. At the outdoor board, read the same markings. Match number to number. Tug each conductor. Loose ferrules cause intermittent faults. Crimp fresh ferrules and land wires fully under the clamp. Label both ends with printed tags. A clean landing stops ghost errors and saves repeat calls. Step 2. Service the condensate path. Lift the indoor head slightly and inspect the drain stub. Confirm slope downward to the exit. A good target is at least 1/8 inch per foot. Repeat, at least 1/8 inch per foot. If a mini pump is present, unplug it and remove the reservoir. Clean slime and debris. Replace the check valve from the service kit. Flush the discharge tube with clean water. Rebuild with new vinyl tube if the wall run is brittle or kinked. Restore power and test the pump in a bucket before you close the head. If gravity drain only, clear with a wet-dry vacuum at the outlet outdoors. Prime the trap if one is installed at the exit. Step 3. Inspect flare joints at the wall. Pull the cover and expose the union pair. Use a mirror to view the flare faces. Look for galling or a ring line. If oil stains show or the joint was reworked before, plan to remake both flares. Always replace both nuts when you remake a pair. Keep a finger over the line to prevent dust entry. Step 4. Cut, deburr, and flare clean. Mark the cut square on bright copper. Cut with a sharp wheel. Deburr inside and outside until smooth. Slide the new nut on before you flare. Set the tube height in the block with a flare gauge. Form the flare with a clutch-type tool, so you do not overpress. Inspect the cone face. It should be smooth with no cracks. Place a tiny drop of refrigeration oil on the face. Do not oil the threads. Repeat for the second line. Step 5. Torque the flares to spec. Thread by hand until the cone seats. Set the torque wrench to the label value for your line size. If the label is missing, follow the model book that lives with the unit. Example values often fall near 15 foot-pounds for 1/4 line and near 31 foot-pounds for 3/8 line. Speak the number as you set it. Tighten to click. Repeat the click once to confirm. Do not add muscle after the click. Over-torque splits flares and causes slow leaks. Step 6. Seal the wall penetration. Slide a wall sleeve into the hole to protect the lines and the cable from sharp edges. Pack the gap with putty to stop air and water. Secure the line set cover with all screws. Seal the top edge so wind-driven rain does not enter. A sealed sleeve protects your new flares from movement and moisture. Step 7. Pull a compact deep vacuum. Remove Schrader cores at the service ports with core tools. Connect large vacuum-rated hoses from the core tools to the pump. Mount the micron gauge at the outdoor service port. Change pump oil now. Start the pump. Watch the gauge drop. Target 500 microns or less. Repeat, 500 microns or less. Close the valves to isolate. Shut the pump. Hold for 15 minutes. A good system rises slowly and settles under 1,000 microns. Repeat, under 1,000 microns after 15 minutes. If it rises fast, soap the flares and correct. Vent with a brief sweep of dry nitrogen and pull again when needed. Step 8. Clean the indoor coil face and pan. With power off and the sleeve in place, brush lint from the fins in one direction. Rinse lightly with approved cleaner and warm water into the sleeve. Do not flood the electronics. Wipe the cabinet edges. Clean the blower wheel with a brush if accessible. Remove the sleeve and pan. Wipe any drips. Reinstall filters. Verify, restore power. Command cool at the remote. Confirm outdoor fan and compressor start. At the indoor head, watch for steady drain within a few minutes. Lift the pump float if a pump is present. The system should stop. Lower the float and confirm restart. Listen for whine or chatter at the flare area. None should be present. Read line temperatures with a hand probe. Suction line should cool evenly toward the head. Record indoor supply and room temperature after 10 minutes at a fixed fan speed. Walk outside and read the micron gauge once more after the valves are open and the caps are tight. It should sit at atmosphere with the pump off. No vacuum should remain. Take a final photo of clean routing and sealed sleeve. Common fails and fixes. Miswired communication cable. S1 and S2 swapped between head and condenser will throw random codes. Fix by matching numbers end to end and landing ferrules tight. Drip at the wall after a rain. The hole was not sleeved or sealed. Fix by installing a wall sleeve and packing with putty. Seal the cover top edge. Recurring leak at a remake. The flare was overpressed or over-torqued. Fix by cutting back to fresh copper, deburring fully, oiling the face lightly, and torquing to the label value with a calibrated wrench. Pump runs, but does not move water. The check valve is stuck or installed backward. Fix by replacing the valve from the kit and confirming aero direction with a finger test in a bucket. Musty odor after cleaning. The pan was not flushed and dried. Fix by rinsing until clear and running the fan in dry mode to move air across the coil for a few minutes. Document. Photo terminal blocks at the head and the condenser with labels visible. Photo the new flare faces before assembly. Photo the torque wrench set on the value you used. Photo the micron gauge at 500 microns and the decay under 1000 with timestamps. Photo the wall sleeve and putty seal. Photo the condensate test with a visible water stream. Log conductor colors, terminal numbers, torque values, micron targets, and drain tests in the job file. Recap, 3 bullets. Land wires by number and crimp ferrules so controls stay stable. Remake flares clean, oil the face, and torque to the value on the label. Seal the wall and prove the drain so water leaves the house every time. Chapter 7, Saves, Safety, and Systems. Hook, one line. Build habits and kits that turn bad days into quick wins. Scope, you set up repeatable safety, documentation, and restock systems for residential and light commercial service. You focus on personal protective gear, lockout or tagout, ladder control, photo proof, labels, and a simple restock matrix. You add surge items for heat waves and storms. You do not add technical diagnostics here. You do not write brand endorsements. Safety. Wear gloves and eye protection every call. Carry a small first aid kit. Lock out and tag out at the panel and the disconnect before contact. Confirm zero with the meter you trust. Strap ladders at two points. Use a roof anchor and a rated lanyard when required by height or pitch. Hydrate on hot days. Warm up hands on cold days. Follow local code and your company policy for cylinder transport and ladder use. Tools and materials. Full PPE kit in a bright bag. Cut gloves, nitrile gloves, safety glasses, earplugs, sun sleeves, cooling towel, hard hat where required. Lockout or tagout set, panel clips, tags, small padlocks keyed alike. Two ladder straps per ladder, roof anchor, rated screws, harness, lanyard. Drop cloths and tarps. Magnetic parts tray. Headlamp with two spare batteries. Small label printer or pre-printed tags, and a marker. Photo checklist card laminated. Restock matrix on a clipboard with PAR levels. Storm and heat add-ons. Shade canopy, water jug, hydration packets, rain poncho, rubber boots, extra rags, small battery fan, portable umbrella clamp, spare micron gauge battery, spare meter leads. Setup. Start each shift with a 2-minute safety and stock check. Read the weather. If a heat advisory or storm warning is posted, load the surge tote. Shake the fire extinguisher and read the gauge. Tug each ladder strap. Check the nitrogen cylinder is upright with a cap and strap. Test your headlamp. Pull the PPE bag to the side door. Put the photo checklist on top of the clipboard. Take a single photo of the cargo area to show order before you roll. Steps. Step 1. Build a safety save kit that lives at the side door. Pack safety glasses, cut gloves, earplugs, nitrile gloves, cooling towel, sun sleeves, first aid kit, and hydration packets. Add a small bottle of sunscreen. Add a rain poncho. Add a roll of caution tape and a foldable door sign that reads, "Technician at work, do not touch equipment." Tell yourself and any helper, PPE on before doors open. That rule saves cuts and complaints. Step 2. Standardize lockout or tagout on every energized job. Keep panel clips, tags, and two small padlocks on a ring. At the panel, test your meter on a known live, test the circuit, test known live again. Say the words out loud. Now lock and tag. Take a photo of the lock and tag in place with the panel label visible. At the disconnect, pull, verify zero, and tag the handle. Put the key on your belt. No exceptions. Step 3. Control ladders and roof work. Strap each ladder to the rack with two straps. On site, place the ladder at a safe angle. Tie off the top if you can. When a roof pitch or height calls for fall protection, install a roof anchor with rated screws and sound framing. Clip your lanyard. Keep 3 points of contact. On metal roofs and sun, add sun sleeves and the cooling towel. Your goal is simple. Up safe. Down safe. Step 4. Protect the home with a clean entry kit. Wear shoe covers at the door. Place a drop cloth before you open a return. Cover the work path if the path is carpet. Use a magnetic parts tray so screws do not roll under furniture. Keep a small trash tote for filters and wire scraps. Tell the customer what you will cover and where you will work. A clean path and clear talk calm the room and prevent callbacks. Step 5. Make photo proof a habit. Clip the laminated photo checklist to your clipboard. Shoot these frames every time. Fuel gauge. Fire extinguisher gauge. Locked panel. Tag disconnect. Nameplate of equipment. Before photo of the fault. Meter screen with readings. After photo of the fix. Final panel with all screws. Clean work area with drop cloth folded. Label you installed. These photos protect you and make clear notes for the next tech, the inspector, and the warranty reviewer. Step 6. Label what you touch. Use a small label printer or clear hand tags. Date, initials, part replaced, reading taken. On a disconnect, add a small label with torque value. On a float switch, add, switch will shut off cooling if water rises. On a nitrogen cylinder, label, upright and strapped. On a new cap or contactor, label shows date and microfarads or coil rating. Labels save minutes on the next visit and show care to the customer. Step 7. Run the restock matrix at day's end. Open bins in order. Read the label and the par level. Count aloud. Fill to par. Mark shortages on the matrix. Keep common parts on the truck shelf. Push rare parts back to the shop shelf. Take one photo of the count sheet and the bins with labels facing out. Set a reminder at 5:30 p.m. for the count. It takes 5 minutes when bins are neat. Step 8. Add surge items for weather. On heat waves, load the shade canopy, water jug, hydration packets, and the small battery fan. Move the canopy and jug to the door side. On storms, load the rain poncho, rubber boots, extra rags, and an umbrella clamp. Add a spare micron gauge battery and spare meter leads. Weather gear keeps you safe and keeps the work moving when calls spike. Verify. Do a 3-point end-of-day audit. 1. Safety. Check the PPE bag is full and the lockout or tagout set has both locks and tags. 2. Cargo control. Pull on the ladder straps. Shake the nitrogen cylinder. Nothing moves. 3. Proof. Open the photo roll. Confirm you have a lockout photo, a meter reading photo, and an after photo for every job. If a job is missing a critical photo, write one line in the notes to explain what you did and what you saw. Sign and date the restock matrix. Common fails and fixes. No PPE on the first call. A small cut turns into a delay. Fix by keeping the safety bag at the side door and putting glasses on before anything else. No lockout photo when a panel was open. Fix by clipping the photo checklist on top of the work order. Shoot before you touch a wire. Ladder shifts on a windy day. Fix by tying the top, moving the ladder out of a wind tunnel, and adding a helper foot. Strap to the rack with 2 straps before you drive. No labels on replaced parts. Fix by placing the label printer in the same drawer as the contactors and caps. Write date and readings at the time of the repair. Restock skipped after overtime. Fix by setting a 5-minute timer and doing the top 3 bins only. Caps, contactors, and fuses. Do the full restock next morning before you roll. Document. Photo the PPE bag open with the contents visible. Photo the lock and tag at the panel and the disconnect. Photo the ladder strapped at 2 points and the nitrogen cylinder upright with cap and strap. Photo any roof anchor installed with screws visible. Keep a monthly photo of the bin map and the restock matrix. Save all to the job folder with date and time. Inspectors look for cylinder restraint, safe ladder transport, and lockout or tagout when panels are open. Warranty reviewers look for clear before and after evidence and labels with dates. Recap, 3 bullets. Suit up, lock out, strap ladders, and hydrate. Safety is step 1. Shoot photo proof and label what you touch. That is your record. Run a 5-minute restock. Weather adds a surge tote. Quiet truck. Ready truck.